ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text 15 from Canto 4, Chapter 7. Yosa maya vidita tattva drisha sabhayam. Shitto durukti vishikair viganaya tanman. Arvak patattam arhatama nindaya pad. Drishyadraya sa bhagavan sakriti natushyat. Yo sa maya vidita tattva drisha sabhayam. Kshipto durukti vishakair viganaya tanman. Arvak patattam Arvak patattam arhatama nindaya pad. Drishyadrayasa bhagavan sakriti natushyat.
Drishyadrayasa bhagavan sakriti natushyat.
Yaha.
Who?
Asau.
That.
Maya.
By me.
Avidita tattva.
Without knowing the actual fact.
Drisha.
By experience.
Sabhayam.
In the assembly.
Kshiptaha.
Was abused.
Durukti.
Unkind words.
Vishikai.
By the arrows.
Viganaya,
taking no notice of.
Tat,
that.
Mam,
me.
Arvak,
downwards.
Patantam,
gliding down to hell.
Arhatama,
the most respectable.
Nindaya,
by defamation.
Apat,
saved.
Drishtya,
seeing.
Ardraya,
out of compassion.
Saha,
that.
Bhagavan,
your lordship.
Svakritena,
by your own mercy.
Tushyet,
be satisfied. Translation, I did not know your full glories. For this reason, I threw arrows of sharp words at you in the open assembly. Although you did not take them into account, I was going down to hell because of my disobedience to you, who are the most respectable personality. But you took compassion on me. You took compassion upon me and saved me by awarding punishment. I request that you be pleased by your own mercy, since I cannot satisfy you by my words. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As usual, a devotee is in an adverse condition of life except such condition to be the mercy of the Lord. Factually, the insulting words used by Daksha against Lord Shiva were enough to have him thrown perpetually into a hellish life. But Lord Shiva, being kind toward him, awarded him punishment to neutralize the offense. King Daksha realized this, and, feeling obliged for Lord Shiva's magnanimous behavior, wanted to show his gratitude. Sometimes a father punishes his child, and when the child is grown up and comes to his senses, he understands that the father's punishment was actually not punishment, but mercy. Similarly, Daksha appreciated that the punishment offered to him by Lord Shiva was a manifestation of Lord Shiva's mercy. That is the symptom of a person making progress on the path of Krishna consciousness. It is said that a devotee in Krishna consciousness never takes any miserable condition of life to be condemnation by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He accepts the miserable condition to be the grace of the Lord. He thinks, quote, "I would have been punished or put into a more dangerous condition of life due to my past misdeeds, but the Lord has protected me. Thus I have received only a little punishment as token execution of the law of karma." Unquote. Thinking of his grace in that way, a devotee always surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead more and more seriously and is not disturbed by such so-called punishment. End of purport. Yosau maya vidita tatva drisha sabhayam kshipto durukti vishakaya viganaya tanman arvak patantam arhatama ninda yapat. This word ninda, by defamation, sadhu ninda. Nindayapad. Drishyardraya sa bhagavan sakritena tushyat. I did not know your full glories. For this reason, I threw arrows of sharp words at you in the open assembly, although you did not take them into account. I was going down to hell because of my disobedience to you. Or the most respectable personality. But you took compassion upon me and saved me by awarding punishment. I request that you be pleased by your own mercy, since I cannot satisfy you with by my own words. Sadhu ninda. Patantam, gliding down to hell. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about this particular offense, sadhu ninda, in the following way. One should not think, oh, so-and-so is a great devotee, surely they'll forgive me, and sail on. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this compounds the offense with another offense, sinning on the strength of chanting. Thinking, well, I'm chanting and chanting will, and they're an advanced devotee, so they won't mind. They'll be forgiving. So, double the offense. When an offense is made, another point here is, even if the person, in this case Lord Shiva, or some other person, is in fact an exalted personality and doesn't take it seriously, the teaching for those of us that are chanting, this is not the case specifically here, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that the devotee may be forgiving, the devotee may not take an offense, but Nama Prabhu takes an offense, and the efficacy, the elevating force of the holy name is withdrawn by the holy name unless we remedy the offense. So even if, as he's saying here, the sadhu, Lord Shiva, doesn't take it seriously, still I was gliding to hell. So the principle of both elevation and degradation is in the hand of Krishna. Partly indirectly that's the message here. Because the personality of Godhead is displeased when his dear representative is dishonored or disrespected or sadhu ninda. So the personality of Godhead being displeased, one's misfortune is calamitous. And the converse is there. By pleasing those who are representatives of Krishna, then Krishna is pleased, and that's the elevating principle. We're having this lively discussion on our amongst a number of devotees, GBCs and others, in the matter of the deliverance of a devotee or deliverance of a disciple. Who is the deliverer? And the way that it's the consensus seems to be, you know, amongst the learned Vaishnavas who are discussing this topic. Ultimately, Krishna is the deliverer, that just as ultimately Krishna is everything. And then Krishna acts through different agents or instruments, nimittas. And so there are multiple deliverers. And, you know, the list is many. So in our, the topic specifically is it simply the Diksha Guru who is the deliverer? And ultimately it's Krishna who is the deliverer. But as the instrument, is that the exclusive or the primary deliverer? And a lot of that has to do with some variables, like the faith of the person being delivered and the qualification of the Diksha Guru and the fidelity of the Diksha Guru to our founder Acharya and the disciplic succession and so forth. So it's not a cookie cutter answer. One answer fits all. Ultimately, Krishna is the deliverer, and there are various instruments by which Krishna delivers, and where faith goes, and where there is transparency and qualification, that's the method. So, method of deliverance. And as this gets scripturally supported and refined, there's going to be a, there is already a course that Anuttama is teaching, Anuttama, our communications director, and others, I guess, are also going to be teaching, called the Disciple Course, or something like that, where this is one of the subject matters that's going to be taught, because there's some due to lack of clarity of training and education, there's a lot of ideas out there of what's what. Some people say this, and some people say that. Some people say a whole bunch of other things. So what's what? So what is it that the Shastric support says, what is the means of deliverance of a devotee? So stay tuned. The disciple course will come to town. And the plan is that before one receives initiation, they will have had to take that disciple course. It's not instituted yet, as far as I know. But to help avoid going off the center of the road and into the ditch on the left side or the right side, or missing a turn or whatever, to keep the future generations of devotees that take part in Krishna consciousness. What's it all about? How does it work? Guru Tattva is a very deep subject matter, and the role of Srila Prabhupada in our case, in general, founder Acharya, what's the role for the next generation and next generation and next generation? How does it work? How does it work? Where should one, with proper scriptural guidance, place one's faith? What conception should I hold in order to reach the goal? So, here, Daksha has not properly recognized Lord Shiva's position, and in addition, he was overwhelmed with envy, and he spoke very badly. Arhat Tama, the most respectable, Nindaya, he defamed him. The most respectable, I defamed him. That's how I spoke. In a public assembly. In a public assembly is Sabhayam. So, right in that yajna, the sacrificial area, with all the assembled personalities, he spoke offensive, very, very offensive words. So, immediately a reaction. Even Lord Shiva didn't take that seriously. Immediately a reaction. Heading for hell, for, as Prabhupada is saying in the purport, for perpetually countless numbers of births in hell. That's not a nice destination. So, recognizing that, Lord Shiva could have just said, go to hell. You know, I'm paying no attention to you. You get your deserve. Instead, he did something that would check that free fall. He gave a short-term punishment. That was it. It was a severe punishment. But it reduced, it eliminated the reaction of gliding down to hell for unlimited numbers of births. Because Daksha is learned, he understood that. And in part also because his attitude towards Lord Shiva changed, his attitude of envy and disregard. As he says in the beginning, avidita tattva, maya avidita tattva. I didn't know the actual facts. Avid tattva. I didn't know the actual facts of your
circumstance, who you are. Commonly, that's part of what happens when people make offenses to others. I was trying to remember the context of a number of these kinds of statements. When Durvas Muni speaks to Maharaj Ambarish, he also said, "I did not understand your glories." But the reason he didn't understand his glories is he was envious. I'm a Brahmin, and he's a Kshatriya, so I should be honored more than the Kshatriya, but he's honored more than me. I'm envious. And because of that envy, he couldn't see, because of wishing glorification or distinction and honor to himself, he couldn't see. So he was able to see the hard way. And that's part of what happens if we don't let go of our material contaminations and try at least to see properly. Or King Indra, when he came before Krishna after the Govardhan Leela, "I didn't understand." Or Lord Brahma speaking to Krishna, "I didn't understand." Certainly Brahma understood, but for a moment, for some period of time, he became enamored by his own mystic powers, because Brahma has mystic powers, and he wanted to see the extent of Krishna's mystic powers. So we got to see the extent of Krishna's mystic powers, but if the mood wasn't the right mood, it switched from curiosity to he made an offense. He kidnapped Krishna's cows and Krishna's coward boys, put them in a cave. That's bad. So he got carried away. His curiosity started innocent, went into an offense. So Krishna showed the extent of his, or the unlimited extent of his opulences and his mystic powers. So it's mercy when, you know, the nature of what happened with Lord Brahma, the nature of what happened with Indra, the nature of what happened with Durvas Muni, you know, they're incrementally more severe. Daksha got his head cut off and got a goat's head in place, and it's more severe. But in part the punishment, or in other language, the mercy that one may receive is commensurate with what one may need to receive. Like Nalakuvera and Manigriva, when they were liberated from being trees, they also said, we didn't understand how exalted was Lord Shiva. We made a big offense. Excuse me. We didn't understand how exalted was Narada. We made a big offense. Because of pride. So contaminations of heart, there's several points. Contaminations of heart block us from seeing what's what. And they impel us into action that's hurtful to us. And the great personalities don't feel hurt, but those persons that make offenses to those great personalities because their heart was contaminated experience a reaction. So then there's this balance between, maybe I should stay away from exalted personalities because I might make some offense, or maybe I should stay away from devotees because I might make some offense, or maybe I should stop chanting because I might make some offense. None of those are right contemplations. We need each of those uplifting factors, and at the same time,
we must be very careful how we approach them. And one of the ways that helps how to approach them is to have proper samband again. Know what's what. What is a devotee? How fortunate one is to receive the devotee's association. Rather than the familiarity program. Oh, devotees. And then we start, just like the discussion arose a little bit yesterday, when this was just a discussion with some people. When you're in the association of devotees, your expectation is up here. It's kind of, you know, whether it's adults or children, with say children. When other children do foolish things, non-devotee children, you know, it's easier because they're non-devotee children. But then when devotee children start doing things, then it becomes easier to become contaminated by that association. So this is a really buzz-hot topic. How does a community grow where there's shared values of what we have our children do and not do? That's a buzz. Ooh, buzz. Because there's different standards. Different standards. And some say different things. And then those that are over here, you know, like on the, I don't allow my children, da 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 da. And then there are other parents that, well, they're exposed to these things, so I just, in moderation, allow my children to do da 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 da. Because if I just say no, then they'll do it anyway when I'm not looking, and so I'll regulate it, and it's in moderation. And then the children, the parents said, you know, we don't do this in our house. They say, well, you know, so-and-so is doing, and you know, I want to do, mommy, mommy. And, you know, there's tension. And then isms and groups and stuff, and it's a hot topic. I hope all the questions at the end don't go to that topic. Just back to the core topic here, recognizing something that is of spiritual quality. I mentioned this the other day, the nature of offenses, the 10 offenses against the Holy Name, is something that is transcendental, not recognizing it as transcendental. And interacting with the scripture of the Holy Name or devotees or instructions or things, thinking that the chanting of Hare Krishna is one of the karma kanda rituals offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. Like, you know, prayaschitta, you chant to atone for your sins. That's what chanting is for. Like, you know, just taking a bath so you can go out and get dirty again and take a bath. Just atone, a karma kanda atonement process. That's offensive against the Holy Name. One who thinks like that, the full efficacy of the chanting of the Holy Name is withdrawn. And if one goes further and continues sinning on the strength of chanting, that's the most heinous of offenses, and one becomes fallen, like Ramchandra Puri. He becomes like just an offender, chronic offender. And the beneficial effect of chanting is withdrawn. Nama Prabhu is absent, although the syllables may be there. So the application of this principle is very important in our practical life. One other big item that's mentioned in the purport is, as practicing devotees, how do we deal with the rod of chastisement when it comes? either from an individual or from Supersoul, from the circumstances that come our way. Some difficulty. And Prabhupada is making it very clear, both conceptually and even he gives us, like, you know, the internal thought process. Conceptually, it's Krishna's mercy. And how a devotee should think is Krishna's mercy. Just like last night, Krishna is very kind. I don't know exactly what it is from my past activities, but I do know, in principle, the difficulty that I'm encountering now is connected to my past bad activity. And because of Krishna's mercy, what I'm experiencing now is just a token of what should take place. The full force of my karma. Prabhupada gives the example, a little tap on the wrist might come instead of breaking your arm. Tap. So we're getting a reminder of our past activity. So that we don't become complacent or puffed up or lazy. Ta. Instead of a broken arm. And if you get a broken arm, then, you know, what would have been something far more calamitous, it's reduced. It's a token reminder. It's not a harsh treatment. It's a token reminder of you're being freed from the circumstances of material existence. But don't forget, right behind you, there's a whole lot of material existence. And dark material existence. So, please be very careful and stay nicely situated in the path of devotion. And that's how a devotee takes what Prabhupada calls reversals. Or, unfortunate circumstances that may come. It's not God is cruel, or the representatives of God are cruel, they're not merciful. Not so. Devotee sees these things in the same way that Daksha is seeing. And the final point that he makes is, I request that you be pleased by your own mercy, since I cannot satisfy you by my words. So remaining undisturbed, what I wish is to express my gratitude. And my words are inadequate for expressing my gratitude, so please be satisfied with your own merciful nature. And he goes on. Then Bhojavit becomes very satisfied. Ashutosh. Very easily pleased. Even he's been offended in a very severe way, and his wife is gone because of that offense. He's easily satisfied. And because Sati is his eternal consort, arrangements are made, she comes to him again in another form. Parvati. Okay, any discussion? Yes.
Prat, said that pride makes you not to see clearly.
Yeah.
Is it something like you have good pride and bad pride?
Well, can you have a good example of good pride?
No, like some people are like, oh, I'm a great Vaishnava.
No.
I follow all these rules and regulations.
That's not good pride. There is such a thing as good pride. The teaching is, the Vaishnava teaching is, whatever there is, there's a spiritual form of, whatever there is contaminated here, there's a spiritual counterpart. So there is such a thing as good pride. And The Prabhupada explains that particular one this way. I am part of Krishna's family. I'm part and parcel of Krishna. I take pride in the fact that Krishna's kindness comes to me too because I'm his part and parcel. But not, I'm up there amongst his parts and parcels. I'm special. I'm a great devotee. Not like that. Pride in that Krishna has accepted your offering of service. Krishna is very kind. That kind of pride. Yes?
Yes. It is the mercy that Lord Shiva extended to Daksha, a form of Krishna, as...
In the form of what?
Is that a form of Bhakti Vasala?
No. It's a different. Lord Shiva is a devotee. Krishna is extending his kindness through Lord Shiva, but it's not exactly. When the term Bhakta Vatsala is used, it's commonly used specific to Krishna himself. Commonly. So certainly the mercy of Krishna's devotees, the mercy that the devotees of Krishna exhibit, is part of Krishna's mercy. But the term Bhakta Vatsala is specific to Krishna's quality. And he directly exhibits mercy. Like a very practical one, he enters into the heart of every living being as supersoul. Even though that living being has turned away from Krishna, he's very kind. And he places himself within, expands himself within the heart of that soul. But that's in the heart of all souls, devotee, non-devotee. So Bhakta Vatsala is specific for the devotee. So from the position of super soul within the heart of the devotee, Krishna presents himself he makes arrangements to help the devotee come to him. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. Yes. That's not good pride. That Krishna didn't like the pride in the pride that they had. Of course, they're, you know, who are we to speak about the quality of the gopis? But our acharyas speak in this way, that they were feeling, oh, we're very special devotees. We've gotten some special mercy. Here we are with Krishna, alone in the dead of night. Ooh. And they were feeling proud. So to remove that pride, Krishna disappeared. Because Krishna doesn't like pride in the heart of his devotees. At least that's one rendering of that lila. That's the one that I've commonly heard. Yes. Could you say it again? I couldn't hear you. Uddhava?
Like, he had the pride.
Uddhava had pride?
I mean, so that's why he was asked to go and see the gopis. It's not like that.
No. Yes. Yes, Srinidhi.
Like, he also spoke about, like, badly about Krishna.
He sure did. Yeah, he got liberated. That was the end of Shishupal's problems. He was relieved of the reaction and he received liberation. Yes.
Goswami, I remember a number of years ago, this Catholic priest once said that one of the most detrimental things you can do for your soul is plan repentance.
planned repentance?
Yes, he's saying, I'm going to commit this offense now, and then I'll just I'll repent for it, so, you know, later on down the road. When we were talking about, you know, somebody taking the attitude, well, so what if I sin? I got this expiation ritual I can lean on. And when you were talking about that, it reminded me.
Okay, sinning on the strength of chanting is the same idea, mm-hmm. You know, planned or after the fact. Yes.
From my Daksha's example, he seems to be in a mood of gratitude and regret.
Yes, you're speaking differently than yesterday. And so?
So, there's a sense of fear because we're seeing Daksha's example, and later on, what he does with Narada is just horrible.
Yeah.
So? Where's the protection? Where's the protection so we don't make the same?
Reach in Mad Bhagavatam and fasten your seatbelt. Keep strapped in. When it gets bumpy, you've got your seatbelt on. You know, be protected by the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Be protected by the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's protection. It's not a guarantee, but it's protection. When you're passing through an intersection and there's a flashing yellow light, you slow down, you're very cautious. Because it's a dangerous intersection. Slow down, be very cautious. Yes?
When you do asaman, like three names or 12,
yes.
The purpose is to purify
yes.
the body and mind.
Yes.
So, but the asaman is also reciting Krishna's names.
Yes.
So, isn't it that.
The essence is the name, not the water or the spoon. The essence is the name, is the mantra.
Yeah, so aren't we.
You're following an instruction. It's not so that I can go on doing sinful things. It's for purification. I need lots of purification. It's not sinful. Chitraleka, you got something? You're stirring like you got something cooking over there. Okay. You have a question or no? Okay, fine. Yeah.
Unless Indra has had committed offenses against devotees, so how Krishna accepts him as a devotee?
How is it that Krishna did what?
Accepts Indra as a devotee.
Because he is. He made a boo-boo. But he's a devotee.
How he overlooks the offenses?
He didn't overlook, he corrected his heart. And then with that repentance, Lord Indra came before him. The whole Leela, a major portion of the whole Leela, is Krishna wishing to curb the pride of Indra. He knew, and he doesn't like pride in the heart of his devotee. So he performed the Leela to curb the pride of Indra. And his pride was curbed. And he came to his senses and realized, whoa, I made a big aparad, big offense. And he came to offer his apology and sincere repentance. Yes.
Hare Krishna. You use the term Daksha Guru.
Diksha.
Diksha.
Diksha means initiation.
Okay. Can you explain to me Diksha Guru?
Yeah.
Guru and learning hearts?
Okay. This is a different topic, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes their different categories of guru. Guru literally means, the Sanskrit word guru means heavy. Like, you know, a stone or a mountain is heavy. Heavy, this means heavy. Weighty, so it's spiritually that kind of weighty, guru. Weighty, heavy. And the principle of guru is one who connects one to Krishna. So that service is a heavy service. So there's categories of guru. Three are mentioned. One who shows one the path to Krishna. That's one category. Vartma, Pradarshika. You don't need to learn the Sanskrit term, but it means just that away. Like, you know, which way to the temple? Oh, you turn left and make a right and you go that away. So like somebody, when we go on in the public and chant and invite people to chant and invite people to take literature, invite people to come to the temple, that's a function of Vartma Pradarshika. You go that away. And then, you know, other steps along the way. Someone that has helped introduce you to the teachings and explain them to some degree. Like introducing. Enchanté. You know, here's Krishna. Let me introduce you to Krishna. That's a Vartma Pradarshika Guru. Then there's another category that's absolute, not just, you know, a functional activity, but an Shiksha Guru. Shiksha means instruction. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna are friends. Krishna is driving the chariot into the middle of the two armies, and because Arjuna asks him, please draw the chariot into the middle so I can see who's on both sides. And he sees who's on both sides and he goes, yikes, I don't want to do this. And then he turns to Krishna and says, I don't know what I should do. Please instruct me. So from that request changes the dynamic of the relationship from friends to instructor, guru. Please instruct me. So that's a category of Shiksha Guru, one who gives absolute truth to instruct someone, a student or an individual. Shiksha Guru. And after sufficient instruction and adhering to instruction, there's another category where one gives initiation or Diksha Guru. And the Diksha Guru makes a formal connection with the line of disciplic succession between that individual, say devotee, beginning devotee, practicing devotee, and the line of disciplic succession up to Krishna. Formal connection is made. And in along with that formal connection, there's other things. The chanting of a mantra is formalized. So that's Diksha Guru. Right?
Is there a guru on the inside?
Sure, that's another one. Chaita Guru. Chaita means heart. So Krishna's in the heart. And he's, you know, the kingdom of God is within you. Same idea. God is within you. And he's saying, come to me. And we're going, well, I got my own ideas. You know, my idea of how to come to you is blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, well, just, you know, refine that channel a little bit, because it's not blah, blah, blah. It's something else. So the whatever inspiration we receive from Chaita Guru, from Super Soul, needs to be confirmed by Scripture.
or our three are scripture, the spiritual master, and holy persons, sadhu, guru, sadhu, shastra. Then, I have this inspiration. I'm a rock star, and I might offer my hallucinating drugs to Krishna and do wild music for Krishna. That's my inspiration. That's what it says inside. Well, does that confirm with what scripture says and what guru says and what sadhus say? If not, then I got the wrong channel. It's not the Chaitaguru channel, it's the Lamaya channel. So we have to confirm this one with those three.
One last question. Is there a difference in the acceptance of one's devotion who's serving Krishna out of fear of consequences,
sure,
or one who's serving him out of reverence,
sure,
and awesomeness?
Sure. And then there's other varieties. Just out of love, not awesomeness, just love. Sure. One of the things with it was mentioned in just the last couple of days' verses that, you know, doing something, because if you don't, you're going to get smacked. That's fear. And then, you know, you've got that it's not sustainable. Because, okay, I've been going along for some time, and so the stick disappears, and the stick's gone. Boop! And then comes the stick again. You know, a relationship with God is not a relationship of fear. A relationship with God is a relationship of love. So, I was giving the example that Prabhupada was speaking of a dog. A dog doesn't have the capacity to reason. My dear Mr. Dog, if you bark and if you bite people, it's not nice. So please don't bark, and definitely don't bite people. So, stick. Argumentum ad baculum. Remember that?
Yes.
Latin phrase? So, to be moved to approach God because of fear, if you don't, you're going to burn in hell, etc. It's not so sustainable. It's not, that may very well happen, but it's not a sustainable motivation. Once I get out of jail, my propensities to do criminal activity, they're still there. The seeds and the roots are there. So what's needed is to take away those roots of adversity. It's something like, you know, a police officer. When a criminal sees a police officer, there's fear. But when a law-abiding citizen sees a police officer, they're happy. Oh, Mr. Officer, how nice to see you today. Is everything going well? Yes, the town is peaceful. Very good. I saw a police car cruising down the alley this morning. I don't know if that's scaring anybody away. They just duck and they come back out again. Rupa, you got something?
Might be a little long, but back to the who is the deliverer topic, I find that very intriguing. Relative to one verse that was sent over the internet lately about the guru is the ultimate one that you get mercy from, and how we understand that obviously Krishna is the ultimate deliverer, the ultimate mercy giver. So where does Krishna Kripa and that Bhakti Vatsala come in, that opportunity for direct mercy? It only comes through the guru, or is it just a detail of the understanding of how it's delivered?
Yeah, it's the last part. It says one can say, It's like a little bit, you know, the question about Lord Shiva giving his mercy. Is that like an example of Bhakti Vatsala? That was the question. Krishna is especially merciful to his devotee. One of the ways that he exhibits the mercy to his devotee is he empowers his representatives, and they act on his behalf. Therefore, it's right to say they are the deliverer. But it's also right to say only by the empowerment of Krishna to be the deliverer. So there is always, let's just say, even in Goloka Vrindavan, there's the internal potency. It's never just me and Krishna. There's Adini Shakti and Krishna. So that internal potency can be manifest in a variety of ways according to Krishna's plan. And that way it's direct, but we can also say through the agency of it. And for those of us that are in this realm, Devidam, the material creation, is Krishna's explicit plan. His mercy comes through those who he empowers, through his representatives. That's his plan. One cometh unto the Father from me. One goes to God through the representative of God. That's the plan. That's his system. So, on the particular point of direct versus indirect, here is Prabhupada's description. The spiritual master, he says, functions like eyeglasses, because without my eyeglasses, things are a little blurry. And the eyeglasses allow me to see, not so blurry. But the seeing is direct, through the agency of the glasses. So the agency of the glasses is necessary while the seeing is direct. So it's through the transparent medium of the spiritual master. And if I say, oh, it's direct. I think. Blurry. Like that. Okay. Thank you very much. You look from far. Yeah.